Well, hello, everyone. This is Tyler Sharp with Tyranny Corporate Office. We appreciate everyone being on this call with us. We have a very special call with a very special speaker today. We're very thrilled and privileged to be able to have Dr. Barry Tan with us on this call. And he'll be discussing a number of different things with us regarding a symposium that he recently attended just this past weekend that discussed an awful lot of information about tocotrienal research. So we're very privileged to be able to have Dr. Tan on this call with us to share such recent studies and information that he was a big part of in this last weekend symposium. But before we get into that, I want to share some information with you about Dr. Tan, if I may. Dr. Tan, he earned his bachelor degree in chemistry and PhD in analytical chemistry from the University of Otago in New Zealand. He later became a professor of chemistry and food science and nutrition at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Dr. Tan was the first to introduce the benefits of tocotrienols to the nutraceutical industry after he discovered all three sources of tocotrienols, palm, rice, and annatto. In 1998, he founded American River Nutrition, Inc. and developed the first ever tocopherol-free tocotrienol product derived from annatto beans. His research expertise include lipid-soluble materials such as tocotrienols, tocopherols, omega-3s, CoQ10, carotenoids, and cholesterol. Well, today, Dr. Tan continues to be the world's leading expert in tocotrienols. The focus of research is phytonutrients that have an impact on chronic and degenerative diseases. And he's published numerous articles. Dr. Tan was recently elected to be the senior editor of the second edition of the book Tocotrienols, Vitamin E Beyond Tocopherols. Dr. Tan also serves on Kyani's medical and scientific advisory board. So, Dr. Tan, it's a privilege, a pleasure to have you on the call with us. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
You've been very busy recently. You attended a symposium this past weekend. I wonder if you could share with us a little bit of information about what the purpose of the symposium was.
Thank you again for having me on, Tyler, and thank you all the listeners and distributors out there, and I'm glad always to come back to the doctor's call. So these are very exciting days for our vitamin E tocotrienol. And yes, a week ago we had this international symposium. The purpose of this is to make continuing efforts and emerging efforts regarding the science of tocotrienol. This particular symposium is the second one of its kind. It's all day, and it was in Long Beach, California, which coincidentally there will be where we have our national meeting in August. And the first one was a half day 6 years ago, so it's long overdue for this, for us to discuss on what these tocotrienol can do. So that was the purpose of that symposium.
Wonder if you can give us a brief synopsis of a symposium.
All right. This is a big picture synopsis. That day, Sunday, April 29th, when the meeting was on, experts from four continents, from seven different representing seven different countries, presented a total of 28 papers. It was a highly productive, packed day, and they discussed two major areas, which I'll separate and discuss them in detail a little later. One on the area of continuing science of tocotrienol, meaning that these are already proven aspects of tocotrienol, and since science never stagnate and stop, so they talk about the continuing work on this. The other one is the emerging area of tocotrienol, meaning that they are not known until more recently. So I separate these two, and that was, in a nutshell, that was the synopsis of that one-day meeting.
You mentioned that the symposium covered both continuing and emerging trends in tocotrienol research. What are some of the continuing trends?
All right. This one here, if you will, let me break this thing up and select a few to review the highlights. And the first one is, what are some of the latest? Now, remember, these are the continuing, which means that these are areas that tocotrienol has already been shown to do. In other words, what's new in this area? What was and what's new in this area? So the first one is, what are some of the latest findings on tocotrienol and antioxidation and anti-inflammation study? As most people know that vitamin E tocotrienol are very good antioxidants. What's new in this area? Well, what's known initially when they did all sorts of laboratory cell line study, a laboratory study would be that generally tocotrienol is an order of magnitude more potent than tocopherol, meaning that people have found out that it could be anywhere from about 30 times, 40 times, or 50 times stronger than tocopherol. Other people hone in on the study and then make sharper study, like they did animal study. So in this convention, the continuing part of it would be, in animal study, they continue to shore up that it is at least 3 to 6 times more powerful. So say the average number is 5 times, then tocotrienol is no less than 5 times more potent than tocopherol. That's quite remarkable. They showed it. But there's a twist in this study on antioxidant, which I thought to bring it out to you. The audience may or may not know. Natural tocopherol comes from soybean. So if you buy from a GNC or whatever store, you get natural tocopherol. They come from soybean. Soybean typically only make alpha and other tocopherol. They do not make any tocotrienol at all, period. So there's a group in Korea that decided to study this. And this is the continuing part. They just thought that if they genetically manipulate the soybean, I'm not saying that our product is genetically manipulated. They're doing this as a theoretical study. So they cut the gene, splice the gene, they stick it back to the soybean. You know why they did that? They did that to cause the soybean, instead of producing tocopherol, to make the soybean produce tocotrienol. That's it. Now, and why did they want to do that? They didn't do that just to produce tocotrienol from soybean because nobody wants GMO material, genetically modified organism. They did that because when the soybean, now is springtime, when you grow the bean and then they begin to sprout, during the sprouting process, it's a very stressful process for the plant. So these scientists wanted to find out, it's the same soybean, except it's genetically manipulated, would the plant, the soybean, be protected better or worse or same if the soybean had produced tocotrienol intrinsically in the seed? You know what they found? They found that when they genetically manipulate the soybean to produce tocotrienol, during the germination process, the soybean is able to protect the lipid oxidation of the soybean. I just thought that, you know, I know there's a theoretical study, but that theoretical study gives you a twist to understand that tocotrienol is more potent as an antioxidant than tocopherol. So that was the new one. On the inflammation part, and they found that the underlying reason for all these chronic conditions that we have is caused by inflammation. And further, when they test out all the tocopherols and tocotrienols, delta and gamma tocotrienol show up to be the strongest. So that's the first one. And then the second question, what about the latest research in arteriosclerosis? This would be the thickening and the narrowing of the artery, which caused this disease, cardiovascular disease called arteriosclerosis. In many of the Kayani talks, I have shown slides that shown that they studied this in rodents, which means in mice. And then they found out that the tocotrienol is able to clean up the artery from these researchers. Then there was also a clinical study in human beings with a carotid artery that also found out that it's able to inhibit and reduce the arteriosclerosis. Now, in this convention, they decided to go back to repeat this. So this time, they repeat this in rabbits. And a rabbit is very sensitive to arteriosclerosis. So they did it in rabbits, and they found some unique understanding. One, they found that tocotrienol is able to reduce the cholesterol of this animal that consumes fat. And they found that the delta and gamma tocotrienol continue to inhibit this progression. So right now, on arteriosclerosis domain, which is a cardiovascular problem, they have shown this in mice, in rabbits, and in animals, as well as in humans. So that's the second one. The third one, can I update the people who are listening on tocopherol interference with tocotrienol function? Now, oftentimes when I gave Kayani talks, I talk about the alpha-tocopherol interfering tocotrienol. Now, let me give you some quick history on this. The understanding that alpha-tocopherol interfere with tocotrienol function is known for some 15, 16 years. It was published at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And I started talking about this 8 years ago, or I published this about 8 years ago. And during this time, people look at this sort of study askew. How can, if you take a mixed tocopherol-tocotrienol, the tocopherol would interfere? So, because the study there was not as much. However, in the last 5 years, increasingly more labs have been showing this. So that come to the last convention, which is only a week ago, now I can say to you, happily, that at least 12 labs, independent university laboratory all over the world, is showing themselves independent from any bias that alpha-tocopherol interferes. Now, why is this important? The tocotrienol in the Kayani sunset is from annatto bean, and the annatto bean contains only delta and gamma tocotrienol without tocopherol. That is the reason why. So the tocopherol, if it's absent, it will not put brakes on the car when the car is trying to move. It's very simple. So that's a very good thing. And then two more on this continuing side. Is there any new evidence that tocotrienol had beneficial effects for those with diabetes and prediabetes? The answer is yes. It's already known that tocotrienol lower triglycerides, which is a precursor to people that have high sugar, which is diabetes. So that's known. And then these researchers continue to study a condition first reported in Mayo Clinic. It's called non-alcohol-related fatty liver. Now, why is that phrase so clumsy? Years before now, we have fatty liver that cause cirrhosis. Oftentimes, those fatty liver is caused by people who drink alcohol. So this very clumsy term is supposed to communicate that with the advent of a high-fat diet, we can have non-alcohol-related fatty liver. That means that these are fatty liver not caused by alcohol consumption, and that's because of dietary consumption. And they found that tocotrienol is able to reverse the horrible effects of fatty liver. Once the liver gets fatty, many problems will set in, and the tocotrienol is able to reverse, to retard, or actually or stop this problem. And in another group from Australia, that gentleman came to speak, and he gave rats fatty diets, and he measured the fat PET. That means that the fat between the abdominal cavity. Usually we just measure with a measuring tape and measure the BMI, how the body mass index, body weight index. But with the fat pads, they're able to excise the fat from the animal and found out that the fat pad is actually reduced on the animal who took the tocotrienol. This is new. This has not been known before. So not only it lowered triglyceride, which is a fat in the blood. It also reduced the fat in the liver, a very important thing. They're also able to potentially reduce the BMI because they saw that the fat pass is being reduced. So I'm looking forward to see now if we were to do a clinical study, how we may do that. So that's an important finding this past week. And then the last on the continuing area would be, can you please tell me about the recent study on tocotrienol and cancer. And tocotrienol and cancer had been a bright spot for many research. And I have been in the past, spoke about breast cancer, pancreatic cancer. This continue, and the breast cancer, now they only want to do it with delta or gamma tocotrienol without tocopherol. And the pancreas cancer, I'm very happy to announce that the study in University of Southern Florida, they have done dose escalation, which means that they study on patients with 200 milligram upwards to 3,000 milligram, and they have found no side effects that these patients encounter. So right now they are going to study to see with these doses given to the patient, do they see any death of the cancer cell. In the preliminary work, they definitively saw death of the cancer cells inside the pancreas. Remember, this is human study. They're giving it to people already have pancreatic cancer. So this is when the real rubber meets the road. So, and it takes a long time for this kind of study to be done. So that's a very positive outcome. And other people encouraged by this, they are designing study to do prostate cancer and colorectal cancer. So what does this mean for us who take the Kyani Sunset? Potentially, we'll help prevent it from cancers, particularly the 3 or 4 most common cancers. If you go to the American Cancer Society website, you will see, besides lung cancer, which is almost certain 90% of the time caused by smoking, short of lung cancer, the third to fourth most prevalent cancer are breast, pancreas, prostate, and colorectum. And these are exactly the 4 that they use tocotrienol to go after. It's exceedingly exciting, you know. So anyway, those are the continuing parts, so I'm glad to have a chance to report it to the audience to hear about it. So.
That is some incredible information. My goodness. I appreciate you sharing that with us. What would you say are some of the emerging trends that were covered during the symposium?
Okay. The emerging trends are the lesser known ones, little study. Doesn't mean it's unimportant, you know. Time have a chronological order. So if things have been studied longer, then you know if they're repeated and they continue to prove more, then you know, not only the rubber meets the rubber consistently meets the road. So that's what we sort of continue. In the emerging one, there are few studies out there, but I wanted to encourage this study and let the world know about them. So I invited this speaker to speak, and these are some examples. I have about 4 of these emerging studies. The first one is there really any research that conducted using prolonging life? Now, this is brand new. You have never heard me spoke on this in Kyani before. And we gave some tocotrienol to a Japanese institution, Osaka University, and that gentleman came to speak. We were very proud about that. And he did the work independently. He used worms to study. And now the audience said, why is he using worms to study? Well, the lifetime of a worm is about 3 or 4 weeks. So you can quickly know the understanding. And then the genes of the worms are known. So he studied different stressor to the worm by giving it a lot of diet, which will shorten their life if they eat a lot, or they have a lot of stress, oxidative stress, that will shorten. He did all of these parameters. When he did this in the worm, and the worm is also an animal. It has a heart like that. When he did this study, he showed that alpha tocopherol did not work. And then among the tocotrienols, he showed that delta tocotrienol is most potent, followed by gamma tocotrienol, and then the least potent is alpha tocotrienol. And further, he showed that alpha tocopherol interferes with the function of the tocotrienol to prolong the life of the worm. I just thought, wow, this is amazing. This is the same like in the cholesterol study and things like that. Well, Professor Nishikawa will be publishing this, so we will look forward to this work out soon enough. The next area on the emerging side would be, what place is tocotrienol in bone health? Now, this is particularly important to women postmenopausal, because in this postmenopausal, our bone get porous. And how did our bone get porous when we get postmenopausal? It's not, we simply say it's just an aging process, but sometimes the aging process is physiological. When women go to postmenopause and the estrogen changes, the estrogen change, and also the bone begin to be resorptive. What do I mean by resorptive? Rather than the bone growing and the dead bone cell dying and the new bone cell growing, you will see more dead bone cell dying than new ones growing. So on average, with time, the bone get porous. That situation tends to be more prevalent with women postmenopausal. Well, this professor from Malaysia did the study. She showed that, I'm just giving you a concise a description or synopsis of her work. It improved, when they take tocotrienol, it improved the bone structure. That means that the bone architecture, you know, bone is a solid mass. Architecture of the bone structure, of the bone scaffolding. And then it's anti-resorptive. So rather than making it resorb and get more porous, it's anti-resorptive, resisting resorptivity, which is really good for anti-aging. And then the third one, it reverses the damages already incurred to the bone. So that, I just thought, that is fantastic. If we think of anti-aging aspect, so it corroborates with the prolonging life, but this is prolonging the aging of the bone in this instance. And then the third one would be that, and this I have spoken at Kyani before, radiation countermeasure. How does delta and gamma tocotrienol or tocotrienol in general been studied for radiation? This is very interesting because it's done by the United States government. So I invited the United States government doctor to come, and he had to get clearance to come. It's difficult to get him to come. I was so thrilled he came. And he came and he spoke. They say that they have studied this with all the vitamin E. And I kid you not, you know, they actually shore up that delta and gamma tocotrienol are the two most potent in preventing radiation countermeasure. So this, he said, in summary, it enhanced post-radiation survival. Remember, the United States government is interested in this because of radiation warfare. They zap people with the intention to kill. Remember that context. So that when they gave the animals radiation, they're following how much of the post-radiation survival. When they gave them delta and gamma tocotrienol, in one of the doses, which is not incredibly high, 100% of the animals survived. Do you know how incredible this is meaning? I'm just thinking, this is tocotrienol, it's in a sunset to protect it. We're giving this animal full body radiation, which is what people do, you see. So minimally, we can use this to apply to application, maybe not so grotesque like what they are trying to protect the armed forces, our armed forces, and then civilians. If this can be used to protect our cancer patient, they have to go to radiation, we would be very happy. And so the sunset potentially can help to mitigate the radiation damage of cancer patients if they can use it for something so dramatic such as this. And then they found that delta tocotrienol is most effective in blood regeneration. I'm thrilled, you know. I know I'm giving you the shorthand version. I can tell more of this during the August national meeting. And then in the fourth and the last one, emerging thing, what are the research regarding cognitive health? This is a very recent thing, and I only knew about this because it was published. This is the largest EU, European Union-sponsored study to date, and it composed of six countries, six hospitals in six different countries. They tested, they measure all the tocopherols and all the tocotrienol. This is their conclusion, that they noticed that people who are cognitively normal, their tocotrienol level is highest in the blood. The people who are cognitively impaired, the tocotrienol is reduced. And then when they have Alzheimer's disease, which is very far advanced in the cognitive impairment, then the tocotrienol level is the lowest. And they further found that the low level of tocotrienol correspond to 92 to 94% of cognitive impairment. And they found that the disappearance of the tocotrienol is because they found oxidized vitamin E product. That means that the tocotrienol had been sacrificed, being oxidized to protect the person with cognitive impairment. So now this is what they call an observational study. They did not give to the patient. They were just measuring in the blood. So God willing, I will be able to work with this researcher in Europe. They are based in Italy as well as in Sweden. And if I could do that, I would be willing to give them tocotrienol, you know, and they'll be able to do interventional study where they gave to this patient and would see over 2 or 3 years if there's cognitive impairment at best, or at worst, is able to stop any more progression of the impairment. So this is brand new, you know. And again, this is also an anti-aging thing, because as we age, we have impairment of our thinking process, cognitive process, of our bone, as well as the longevity of our life. So Tyler and all the people listening in, clearly the emergent area is in the area of anti-aging. But I didn't want to just say anti-aging because it sounded unbelievable. So therefore, I had to talk about specific aspects where we talk about the aging process, and tocotrienol has a place in it. So thank you for allowing me to describe these two strong areas of the symposium.
No, thank you. This is you and I have done a number of these doctor calls together, and I've heard you speak a number of different times, and I've never heard you share information before, at least this in-depth about prolonging life, bone health, radiation, countermeasure agents, and cognitive health, and this information is absolutely astounding. So definitely looking forward to more information coming out of this from you, from these emerging trends that are happening. This is just incredible. Thank you for sharing that with us. I do want to ask you a couple more questions, if I can. What about what would you say about the safety of tocotrienols?
Yeah, this is a very important question, and I know that a distributor in Europe asks this a lot, so I'm happy. But to finish up, no, I will review that later on the continuing and the emerging. So I'll answer this directly. We have gotten GRAS. It's an acronym, GRAS. This is a particular status that the FDA coined. GRAS, GRAS, stands for generally recognized as safe. That's it. So if a substance is up to snuff, oftentimes people go and get GRAS. Now, just imagine, I'm very proud of the ingredients that we have in Kyani. This vitamin E is already approved for usage in the U.S. But I decided to move this to get GRAS affirmation. So I decided to fill out all the forms, put all the studies together to see if the FDA would allow this to be GRAS. Anyway, the annatto bean tocotrienol is GRAS, and we obtained this GRAS as of July 2010. So I invited this expert to come to speak how he came to this. And when you do GRAS, I cannot make it GRAS. I can only apply for the GRAS affirmation. You follow? So I only have to send in the thing, and they will have to tell me. So I had this expert come in to speak at the symposium, and he did. And he mentioned many things. The short of it is that he said that he had put affirmation application for many, many, many compounds, you know. And most of them, even if they have about 0.1% any side effect, that will be very acceptable. Most drugs are much higher, you see. So almost sometimes they ask nutritional supplement to be much safer than usual. But anyway, in the many that he had applied for, in the instant for tocotrienol, it is a safe. There's not one reported to the FDA or to the Center for Disease Control, and then it's another place that they measured this, so that at the current standing, based on the end of last year, so we have been having this out in the market from 2002 or 2003 to 2011. So in the 10 years, it's probably about 50, 60 million doses sold. And of the 50, 60 million doses sold, there are no reported side effects. This is how the FDA would require the reporting of it. So we are thrilled by the safety issue of tocotrienol. And as you know, earlier on, I mentioned about the pancreatic cancer. They're dosing people with pancreatic cancer. These are very sick patients. And pancreatic cancer is the most lethal of all cancer. They're able to withstand doses of 200 to 3,000, over 3,000 milligrams. And the tocotrienol dose in one serving of Sunset is 100 milligrams for our optimal health. So it is very safe, even compared to the lowest dose in a pancreatic cancer patient where they use 200. And it's safe all the way to 3,000. So I am very comfortable with the safety profile of tocotrienol.
Well, as a tocotrienol researcher, what would you say is the most exciting up-and-coming research for you?
The most exciting, probably, let me see. Now, I think that in the cancer area, the most exciting would be that they're able to get into clinical study, like in breast, pancreas, prostate, and colorectal cancer, polyps and stuff like that. These are the top four killers of cancer. Anybody who go to American Cancer Society website, they can see this. And people are challenging the tocotrienol to see if they will work in humans with this kind of cancer. I am very excited about this because this is a chronic condition, another aging process. A young person don't get colorectal cancer, you know, or young person don't get prostate cancer. And it's very rare if any a young woman have breast cancer, you see? These are the problems of the chronic problems of the age, and I'm very excited about the cancer outcome, cancer study. The other one that I'm very excited about in the cardiovascular disease is that people are continuing to produce confirming data to show that tocotrienol works for people with cardiovascular health as well as cardiometabolic health. Cardiometabolic health are people with diabetes and prediabetes. People with diabetes are flip side of cardiovascular health. So together, this lipid control would help them to have good heart health. And of course, I'm aware that we are doing a campaign to support people with heart health, and tocotrienol clearly have a place in this, and these are published by many researchers. So these are some two very exciting areas that I'm very interested in, Tyler.
Well, thank you for sharing that. How would you summarize the current understanding in tocotrienol research?
Okay. Now, I will describe this in very broad sweep rather than be very specific. When I scan through and read all these 28 different papers published, and more will come like that, this is my conclusion. Of all the 8 vitamin E, clearly tocotrienol stand out like head and shoulder above the tocopherols in their function. And then in the tocotrienol, they are not all created equal. The two most potent ones are delta and gamma tocotrienol, and the least effective is alpha tocotrienol. Further, as I scan through this study, not insignificantly, researchers are showing that alpha-tocopherol literally interferes with the function of tocotrienol, something that we are very careful to do at the Kayani product so that such interference would not exist. It certainly does not exist in our Sunset product, so I'm thrilled about that. So my summary would be that delta and gamma tocotrienol in general have unshared benefits from tocopherols. And then in the tocotrienol, delta and gamma tocotrienol are two most potent. Alpha tocopherol interferes, and the continuing and the emerging benefits of tocotrienol continue to shore up area so that this Sunset product that we are consuming have almost like a prophetic capability, ones that exist now, and there will be new ones that are coming, and I'm hoping to use that to share as the information come up. So in my short take, that would be my summary of the research shown last week.
What would you say, I just have one final question for you, Dr. Tan. Are there any new publications that may be of interest to our audience?
Yes, and they are coming this year. Last year, we had to spend this to prepare all this, and they're all coming out this year. So look for me, and then I'm sure Kayani will post on a website or link it, or look for me and my little small table that I usually show up with in the national meeting or international meeting. And these are the three areas in the new publication. We just completed a heart health article that just came out in May. And this is a journal that physicians read. And it's all in the book stand. If you ever go to a Whole Foods store, you ask them for a Townsend letter. And in the Townsend letter, in the May issue, they concentrate on heart and cardiovascular health. And we are so proud. We got an article we wrote on tocotrienol in there. And my office is going to send a copy to Kayani shortly. And you'll be able to link in. So there'll be the one that'll come out. So when you see me in the show, ask me for that copy. Or you can Google and read it online. Or go to a health food store, a Whole Foods store, and ask for the May issue. And the article will be there. This first one. There's three of them. And the second one, I'm interviewed by Dr. Passwater, and that will also come out in the Whole Foods magazine. And we have completed the second of three parts interview, which will come out in the issue of July and August, the summer issues. The last one, the September issues, because it's three parts. The third one we haven't done yet, but we'll be prepping it. That would be my summary and synopsis of the symposium that happened. So you guys who are listening in have the sneak preview. So I'm going to summarize that very thoroughly. That will become the third part, and that will be published in September. And then when it's all done, the July, August, and September issue will be compiled into one issue as an interview, three-part interview of Dr. Passwater of me, and that will become available in September. This is the second publication. And the third one, probably for personal encouragement, is a special thing to me. Many of you had bought the dark bluish tocotrienol book that I would have at the Kayani meeting, and that is tocotrienol vitamin E beyond tocopherol, the first edition, like that. And we contribute the two chapters on it. Well, the second edition of that book will come out this fall, not sure when, maybe September, October also. So when that come out, it will be seminal. Now, the content is very scientific, but what that allows is that because it's written so tightly and so clearly and scientifically driven, you can be very proud that the product you take is clearly underwritten by science. And many of the authors who spoke in the symposium, they are also authors of that book. And my crowning achievement there, which I'm very proud of, is they have elected me to be the senior editor. So I'm the main editor for that book. And so that third publication will also come out in the fall. So those are the three. Again, the Townsend newsletter on cardiovascular health, the Whole Food interview, the three-part interview, that will come out in July, August, September. But the combined thing that I can hand out to people will be on September. And then the book that will come out in the fall sometime. So those are the three upcoming in this year alone.
So you have some incredible information that's forthcoming out in the next little bit. Yeah, we look forward to receiving that link from you so that we can link that into our that article to our back office, to KayaniScience.com. So we appreciate that. I look forward to receiving that from you. Well, Dr. Tan, I cannot thank you. I mean, this information is just cutting edge. It's just incredible. And for the information that you that was shared at the symposium, and then for turning around and sharing that information with us, really means a lot to us. So we appreciate very much your taking the time. It's an honor for us to be able to have you on our scientific and medical advisory board, someone with your depth of experience with tocotrienols, being able to shed this kind of light and information to us on the research that's happening right now with tocotrienols. And how fortunate we are to be able to have tocotrienols in our Sunset product, and we can't thank you enough for everything that you do for us.
Well, thank you so much, Tyler, and thank you, the audience, for listening. And if you are all planning to come to the August meeting in Long Beach, I will be able to highlight point by point which researcher, what institution, and what are their summary on each person per slide to talk about their work. Then you can remember what I say now to something a little bit more detailed during that time. So I'm very thankful that you asked me for this hour to share with you of the recent finding in the symposium. So I hope to meet up with you in the future sometime. And Tyler, always wonderful to connect with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Tan. Our Long Beach Convention, as Dr. Tan was mentioning, is coming up in August, 3rd and 4th in Long Beach, California. It's our national convention that we have here. And get your tickets. Boy, register for that immediately. Make plans to be there so that you'll have this opportunity to have one-on-one attention with Dr. Tan, to be able to listen to all of our doctors on our Kyani Medical and Scientific Advisory Board. And just what an opportunity it is to be able to hear from them directly and to develop those a greater and better understanding of the research that's been done on our Kyani products. Look for more information from Dr. Tan coming up in our newsletters, as well as at KyaniScience.com. And as Dr. Tan mentioned, our Long Beach Convention. So appreciate everyone joining us for this incredible cutting-edge discussion and something to listen to over and over again on our podcast as well. Again, Dr. Tan, thank you very much for taking the time. And have a great day, everyone. Take care.
And thank you and good night.